What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. Our mission: to spark hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today.
When you finish a podcast, our hope is that our community would be inspired to live different, to live freely and boldly because of the love of Jesus.
We'll be your hosts. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brooke. Let's go.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, we have a very special episode today. I'm telling you guys, we have an incredible guest. He's one of my good friends, and his name is Mr. Grant Trout. This dude has an unbelievable testimony that he's going to unpack for us today, and I cannot wait for every single one of you listeners to get the opportunity to hear it, because it is going to change your life from the inside out. I'm telling you guys, it's amazing what God can do to not only relate to us in our pain and in our suffering, but then also to show us that we're redeemed, that we're chosen, that He paid the price for us, even in the most difficult time that we're going through. And the beautiful thing about God is that He doesn't just allow us to go through pain, but He's actually in our midst experiencing it all with us. I know I've said this before on the podcast several times, but that's the sustaining grace of Christ. It doesn't promise the absence of pain in our lives, but it promises the Lord's presence in the midst of our pain. Today, how I kind of wanted to start out this episode is just by reading some scripture over you guys today, especially you who feel weary, who feel heavy, who feel burdened. I just want you to hear these words from scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we too can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Deuteronomy 32:10 reads, "He found him in a desert land, and in the howling waste of a wilderness, he encircled him, he cared for him, he guarded him as the pupil of his eye." Isaiah 30:15, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Isaiah 40:29, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Job 11:18, it says, "You will feel safe because there is hope." You guys, I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm telling you, we can humbly and hopefully expect the Lord to do amazing things because He's there. He's in your midst. You may feel weary. You may feel hurt. You may feel broken. You may be going through one of the hardest seasons of your life, but I just want you to know this: you're not going through it alone. My friends, I cannot wait for you to hear this incredibly encouraging and life-changing episode with my good friend, Mr. Grant Trout. Grant, thank you so much for joining us today, brother.
Man, what a blast. What an honor, Zach. Appreciate you.
Dude, it has been a whirlwind of a past couple of days.
It has.
And I am so excited just to take a few moments to really just dive into your story and what God has done in and through your life, Grant. I tell you what, it's cool to see, and what we were just talking about is how God orchestrates relationships.
Yep.
I think of, you know, Pastor Ted Cunningham, a man that we both deeply love and respect, how he brought us together because God placed it on his heart just to introduce us. And then just to see how the past couple of days have gone, how we've been able to grow in relationship and communion with one another. And it's so interesting to see what God has planned, and I can't wait to see it all come to fruition. But man, just to begin, I really just want to learn a little bit more about what God has been placing on your heart right now in this moment, what He's been teaching you that you kind of want to set the tone for today's episode with.
Yeah, absolutely. And Zach, I will say this, and I told you this earlier, like, I am beyond impressed with you and beyond inspired by you. And to anybody that's listening, this brother's the real deal. And you believe what you're saying, man. You believe what you preach. And God has taken you through wilderness, through hardship, through pain.
Yes.
So, brother, you're speaking from a depth that impacts a lot of people, and it's impacted me. So I'm beyond thankful just to be here, brother. But, man, what I would say and what we've been talking about all weekend is the Christian walk is not sunshine and rainbows.
That's right.
It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And I think when I first came to know the Lord, I was like, okay, you know what? I got Jesus. Now everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And for a season it is. And you find that new life. But what God's teaching me right now is that pain and preparation is all leading towards your ultimate purpose. Mm. But I think what a lot of people and me for a season in the past couple months have wrestled with is the desert is not a place of failure. It's a place of victory.
Come on.
The desert is a place where you find an intimacy and a depth of Christ that you didn't know you could experience. Mm. And so a book I'm reading by John Bevere is called God, Where Are You?
Yeah.
And he said, in the midst of your desert seasons, you're not mainly going to experience the Spirit of God through, you know, the raining on you. You're not going to get all these new revelations. But Jesus says, hey, if you come to me, I will give you rivers of living water to flow out of your heart.
Wow.
He says the way a desert or a wilderness gets water is you have to dig beneath the surface. Mm. You have to get under it. He said, so in your desert season, when you're looking, God, where are you?
Yeah.
He said, I want you to go to your heart and I want you to draw out my love. I want you to draw out my revelation. And so what I've been learning, man, is sometimes when you don't hear God, see God, smell God, or feel God, he's right inside of your heart and he's saying, I just need you to draw me out right now.
Wow.
I'm right here. And so I'm battling, God, where are you, in the literal sense, but I haven't lost that anchor of, hey, you're still with me, you're still in me, and this is a place of victory that I'm not going to quit. I'm getting up and I'm going to fight. And if I have to dig deeper and deeper and deeper, I'm digging until those wells and that living water comes out.
Man, dude, that is powerful. Talking about the desert being a place of victory. And I love what you said, that pain can ultimately be preparation for your greatest purpose in life. Something that we just chatted about, right? Perspective steers potential. Mm. Our pain can become our prison or can then become our passport and take us places we could have never imagined. We just can't waste our sorrows. My friend, as we go on this journey throughout pain and to understand everyone's journey, we all have backwater to our story. Of course, we all experience mountaintop moments, great things, these grand journeys and exciting things and extravagance. But at the same time, you also have to walk through a lot of deep and dark valleys. Mm. And my friend, you've been very open and vulnerable with me in our short time together about some of the challenges and adversity you've had to walk through when it comes to injuries and insecurities and mistakes and different things like that. Can you just take a few moments for our listeners today to help them understand a little bit more about the backstory of who Grant Trout really is?
Absolutely, man. So I'm 6 years old. I walk up to my dad and I say, Dad, all I want to do is play college basketball. Mm. That's it. If I can just play college basketball, I made it. Mm. And so I remember from a really young age, I didn't care about a lot of things. I was in the gym.
Yeah.
I was that gym rat, bro. I was double ball handling. I was on the gun getting shots up. And I loved it.
Yeah.
And as I kind of continued to walk through that, he created these teams where we were traveling the country.
Mm.
So all I knew was that, Grant, if you produce, if you score points, one, your dad's proud of you. Two, people watch you. And three, you're affirmed.
Yep.
And so my identity was completely revolving around this sport. Hmm. Around seventh grade, I was walking you through this. I'm diving. I'm playing football at this time as well.
Yeah.
I'm diving for a fumble. Lineman sits on my arm, snaps my main left bone in half.
Mm.
Immediate surgery, out 8 months.
Mm.
Eighth grade comes around. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep playing football. I'm going to try it out again. Dislocate my left shoulder, surgery, out 8 months.
Goodness.
Freshman year of high school, I go, you know what? It's just basketball time. I'm done with football. Ninth grade, I start my basketball season. I throw a pass. My right arm dislocates, surgery, out 8 months. I get to 10th grade. I'm going, you know what? God, like in the midst of this, my heart is hardening. My heart is going, God, if you really loved me, like if you really cared about me, you wouldn't be hurting me.
Yeah.
In 10th grade, I'm playing defense and I move my hip and I tear my right labrum in my hip, surgery, out 8 months. Okay. So from 7th grade to sophomore year, it's complete rehab.
Right.
And what I didn't know is that my heart was going, God, forget you. Forget you. And so around 8th grade, man, is the time that I started searching for life outside of basketball. And I was like, if I can't find it there, I'm going to start finding it in drugs, alcohol, and in women.
Yeah.
And so 8th grade, man, I started smoking weed. And it just started giving me this feeling of like, maybe I can numb the pain that I'm going through.
Yep.
9th grade comes in and I'm drinking, I'm smoking, and I'm, you know, doing stuff with girls. And my mindset was like a lot of guys, if I can be the man at the party and the man on the court, that means I have value.
Right.
That means I'm cool.
Right.
And I chased that with my whole heart, man. And then around sophomore year, my mom was like, you know what, Grant? Like, you're kind of spiraling out of control. I had packed my bags for a Cayman Islands trip with my family. And I was prepared to go the night before. She goes, Grant, we're sending you to a camp called Kanakut Camps in Branson, Missouri. And you're going to go for 2 weeks. And I was like, no, I'm not, mama. And she literally had to like claw me from the wall to go to Kanakut. But I'll never forget it. A guy looked at me. His name's Adam Donier.
Yes.
And he goes, Grant, if I wanted to know everything about the Apple Watch, its settings, its purposes, its functions, who would I go to? I was like, man, its creator, Steve Jobs. He said, if I wanted to know everything about why Grant Trout was created, his functions, his setting, his purpose, who would I go to? I was like, my creator. And he just said, I want you to think about that. I want you to go to your creator, because so many people are trying to find identity in what the world will tell them, what their sport will tell them. But the iPhone, Steve Jobs created it. He knows why it was created. God knows why you and I were created. So in the midst of that, that was one little pebble that I was like, you know what? And maybe. But as I continue to go through my high school career, I'm kind of like, man, you know what? I don't need it. And it got so bad to the point where I remember sitting at an Easter service at church completely drunk. And I was sitting there with my family and I was hearing the gospel night in and night out. Every single Sunday I was at church. But I said, God, I don't need you. This is the Grant Trout show. I don't need you at all. So finally, man, I get to a Division I scholarship, UC Santa Barbara. I show up and my dorm is on the beach. And I'm like, you know what? I made it.
This is it.
This is me.
Yeah.
And for so many young kids, it's like when you make that moment, you're like, everything I hope for is about to come true. And I'll never forget it, Zach. I remember feeling like I was running on this treadmill or I was gripping at the ocean and the water was just falling straight through my hands. And I was like, why am I not happy? And I was at this party one time and I was drinking and life was hard. I didn't know why I wasn't happy. And I heard this little voice in my head and it said, Grant, go home. And I remember running home to my dorm alone. I get in my dorm room and I just start weeping. And I call my mom and I just said, Mom, I know who you raised me to be. I don't even know who I am anymore. And she goes, Grant, I packed you a Bible in your backpack and I want you to open it. And I open that Bible and I start praying for the first time, God, if you are real, I need you to show me yourself. And so I'm walking in the main hub of campus the next day, headphones in, and I'm praying that prayer. I said, God, if you're real, I need you to show me yourself. And all of a sudden, Chinese man walks up to me. And I take my headphones out and he goes, hey, man. I said, what's up, brother? And he said, hey, this is so weird, but I'm a pastor at a local church and I'm starting a Bible study on campus. Do you want to join? And I looked at him and I said, Yes. You have no idea.
Right.
And I started meeting with him and we were going through the book of John and he started saying things like, hey, the word became flesh. The word means Jesus. And my heart is just gripping this all the while I'm drinking and smoking and having sex. And I don't know, but I'm so drawn to this guy. And so as he begins to disciple me, my basketball career starts going better and better and better. Right. I'm playing against USC, UCLA, and I'm getting minutes. And I'm like, you know what? Following God is kind of cool. Like following God is getting me what I thought in basketball. All of a sudden, man, that hip injury in high school comes back around. I get an MRI because I can't even move. And my last game I ever played, I'll never forget it. I didn't know it was my last game. And my family shows up and I have the last 8 points of the game in like 30 seconds. You know, crowd chant your name. It's one of those moments. And I was like, God, we're about to take off. And as I'm taking pictures with my family after the game, the doctor's lingering around. And he never waits that long. And he goes, you know, Grant, I want to talk to you and your family and your pastor. And he said, here's your hip. He said, your hip is completely deformed. You've rubbed away all the cartilage. You're now bone on bone. He says, if you ever want to play with your kids when you're older or move, you're done tonight.
Wow.
And in a moment, everything I put identity, purpose, and value in my time into was ripped from under
me.
And I went home that night and I basically got in my dorm and I gave God double middle finger and I said, God, if following you gets me this, I want no part of you. And I began to spiral and Xanax and cocaine and all these different drugs, bro, to the point February 14th, 2016, I'm walking, leaving a party, I trip, I stumble, all of a sudden I wake up, I'm in a cop car. Wake up again, mugshot. Wake up again, you know, I'm in this jail cell, legit jail. And they walk in and they say, Grant, who's your one call? Who do you want to call? And I remember sitting in this cell and I was like, man, I don't know. You know, I don't have one. Who am I going to call? My parents in Dallas?
Right.
And I stay the night and the next day I get out and they're handing me my shoelaces, my wallet, my phone. I got 1% on my phone, calling an Uber to try to get back to campus. And a guy texts me, the same guy at Kanakut that sophomore year, he texts me and he goes, Grant, I started this faith-based gap year program called Link Year. Every time I go to pray about it, your face comes up on my heart.
Wow.
He goes, what do you think? I hope it's a long shot, man. I know you're playing basketball. I had no idea about my injury, no idea about nothing. And it was in this moment God gave me this vision, and I wasn't even following Christ. And I saw this vision of one day, Grant, you're going to die, and in a split second, you are going to be face to face with your Creator. Mm. And He is going to look at you, and He is going to say, Grant, I had all of this for you. Mm. And He said, but you were so worried about the fear of man and what people would think and all this stuff that you settled for this. And for anybody listening, it's like in a moment, Zach, you and I are going to die, and we're going to see Him face to face.
That's right.
And I felt this Moana moment where I was like, I'm looking at the water, and I was like, I know I'm call. I hear the whisper.
Yeah.
I hear the call. And I decided to drop out of school and go to this gap year called Link Year. Mm. And that's where Adam began to just put seeds and seeds and seeds. Mm. And I'm going to wrap up kind of the story quick that leads to why this always isn't easy. Yeah. Is I transfer after that year to SMU. Mm. And I jump right back in everything. Drugs, alcohol, after this year of a faith-based gap year.
Right.
And it was December 31st, 2017. Mm. I go to the Cayman Islands for my best friend's 21st birthday party.
Yeah.
And I'm there, and all of a sudden it's a night of Xanax, cocaine, weed, alcohol, girls. Mm. I wake up January 1st, 2018. I open my Bible to Matthew 7, and I've read this probably 50 times, and it just says, you shall know a tree by its fruit.
Wow.
And Zach, it was that moment.
Yeah.
Jesus chooses, I don't know why He chooses certain moments, and He lifted that veil, and I saw Him.
That's right.
And I was like, I'm done. And my life kind of 180 transformed. Wow. And now Jesus has set my heart aflame to the point where I'm like, wherever I go, whatever I do, it's about Him. Because I know what it's like to taste death.
That's it.
And it's that John 9:25. Hey, I don't know much.
Yes.
But one thing I do know is that I was once blind and now I see.
Mm.
And so to wrap all this story up is that usually people end that testimony with, and then things were amazing.
Right.
And then things were great. And I started following Jesus. And well, bro, a year into it, I get hit with random panic attacks and random anxiety to the point I can't leave my house.
Right.
I can't speak in front of five people without stuttering. Mm. What do you do when you give all you have to Jesus and all you're left with is a broken, emotional, just I don't know what's happening?
Mm.
And that is what I really want to speak to today, man, because what do you do when you start following Jesus and life doesn't get it better? But I realized in the midst of that, man, I have an anchor and I have something to hold on to. And I remember being in my closet, bawling, crying, going, God, if this is my life for the rest of my life, you're worth it.
Yes.
Because you saved me from death. You saved me from separation away from you. And He changed my perspective in that moment that, like you've said to me all weekend, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. Because my perspective is not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. I live by faith, not by sight. He promised life and life abundantly, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
We will always have trouble, but my soul is satisfied in Him. In the last month, I would say it's ramped up, and I'm having to trust God when I can't understand why pain is gripping my life.
Amen.
But He's enough, Zach.
Enough. He's enough. And that's what you're saying. In the absence of clarity, there is that invitation to intimacy with God. I've said this on the podcast several times, but I told you this weekend, Max Licato talks about sustaining grace, which doesn't promise the absence of pain in our life, but it promises the presence of God in the midst of our pain. And I can't help but just sit here almost teary-eyed as you tell your story, because it's so powerful and it's so profound. And I can't help but thank you enough for your vulnerability today on this episode and in the podcast with all of our listeners' lives. Just giving them an open window to seeing you for who you are, but understanding that God didn't see you and define you by your mistakes and your struggles and your challenges and your adversity, but He still calls you by name.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I wrote this down, just John chapter 5, like we talked about, right? The story of that man who was titled as an invalid for 38 years sitting there at the Pool of Bethesda, then there he is, and he just wants to be healed, right? But God tells him in that moment, He asks him, do you want it? Do you want it? And he says, He says, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. He's unsure, right? He doesn't know what it is, who the actual healer is, who the great physician is, and He's right there in His presence, in His midst. God says the amazing words, pick up your mat in a walk. Yeah. And as we talked about last night, that mat can be so symbolic yeah. of our stories, yeah. of our testimonies. When the world may tell us to leave our mat behind, right? The brokenness, it's dirty, it's rugged, it's got holes in it. It doesn't look clean like the culture and society wants it to look. It's not perfect whatsoever, mm-hmm. but carry the mat mm. because look what God can do with your story. Mm. Look how he can impact the lives of others. And my friend, you've impacted my life mm. just by understanding that you are vulnerable and that you are so real yeah. and that you can just be you and you're fully known and fully loved by a God who created you so intricately. And what God calls unique, yeah. he also calls wonderful.
Man,
as you grew up, Grant, playing sports, you know, we've talked time and time again. We just got out of a big meeting where we talked about sports and how they can instill within us so many life lessons, right? Mm-hmm. And all of these journeys and these valleys that you've gone through in life, I'm just super interested yeah. in understanding what are some of the lessons that you've learned along your way
yeah.
that maybe you want to instill within myself and all of the listeners out there today that we yeah. can begin implementing to hopefully start living a life that is of thriving or yeah. living that life of abundance.
Yep. So another kind of phrase of he uses your pain for your purpose. He yeah. uses your mess to make it your message. Mm-hmm. And so I remember when God took basketball from me, I was going, God, what the heck? Mm. Why would you cause me all of that pain? Well, what I didn't see 4 years down the road is I have two stories for you yeah. as to why God's way is always better. Mm. God's way is always better. And the verse you sent me last night
yeah.
that it said he is the God of all comfort mm-hmm. who comforts us in our hardships so that why? So that we can be comfort yep. to others when they're in the same pain. So what you're going through right now is not just to hurt you. Mm. James 1, it yeah. says you count it all joy because it's developing something.
Right.
So it's developing something in you to now help others. Mm. So what's crazy is your pain and your mess is not even about you.
Right.
It's about other people that you can help. Mm. So I thought in this moment, okay, God, why did you take basketball? Mm. Well, fast forward 2 years down the road, Kyrie Irving was my favorite basketball player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I had his jersey. And so I go on this mission trip and I see a kid who has nothing, man. And he's crying and he doesn't have any shoes, but he loves the NBA. And I said, hey, brother, who's your favorite NBA player? And he looks at me teary-eyed and he goes, Kyrie Irving.
Wow.
And I go to my bus and I had the jersey.
Yeah.
And I give it to him and he starts bawling, crying, and he hugs me. He goes, no one's ever given me anything before.
Mm.
And I remember sharing the gospel with him in that moment that he said, hey, well, God has a free gift that he wants to give you. Mm. He sees you and you are worth it. Mm. You have purpose and value. Mm. Well, fast forward another year. I get a text from a guy and he goes, hey, I'm an NBA trainer. I'd love to come over and work out a player of mine.
Yeah.
I said, great, man. I'd love to, you know, I'd love to meet him. Well, it turns out he brings Kyrie Irving over to my house.
Oh my goodness.
So now I'm sitting here with Kyrie Irving in my house.
Mm.
And he walks right by me, my heart's beating. And he goes to the weight room, and I got a weight room in my house, and I walk in and I just say, hey, Kyrie, you know, keep working out, but I got to tell you a story. Mm. And he gets up eye to eye level with me, stops everything, and he goes, yeah, what's up, man? And I said, listen, hey, you know, a couple years ago, I was on a mission trip, and your jersey allowed me to open up to a kid that had nothing to share the gospel with him of hope.
Come on.
But then I looked at Kyrie, and I said, Kyrie, I want to speak to you for a second. I said, you have everything the world desires.
Mm.
You have a max contract. You have women. You have cars. You have everything.
Mm.
Every kid wants to be you.
Yeah.
But how come deep down when you go to bed at night, you wrestle and go, man, there has to be something more. And I said, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity on every man's heart, mm. meaning there is a hole hardwired in our DNA
yes.
that we can try and fill with anything and everything. The basketball, that fits for a little bit, it mm-hmm. falls through.
Mm-hmm.
The blunt, it fits for a little bit, it falls through.
Mm.
Accolades, school, grades, it fits for a little bit, it falls through.
Mm.
I said, Kyrie, nothing will satisfy that hole in your heart except the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's starting to cry and he goes, man, this ain't it. I said, he goes, you can tell those kids this ain't it. And I begin to share the gospel with him.
Wow.
But the reason I could do that is if the Lord allowed me to play 4 years at Santa Barbara, mm. who knows where I would be.
Right.
But God said, I'm going to strip and I'm going to hurt and I'm going to let you go through this pain mm. so that now you can look at the NBA superstars and tell them about a game that they can always be a part of. Mm. I said, Kyrie, the ball stops bouncing at some point.
Mm.
Amen. Either through an injury or through retirement. Mm. I said, but you were created for so much more. Mm. And then the second story that's crazy is I was asked to do a Dallas Mavericks chapel one time.
Yeah.
And it was my first time, and they're used to this 60-year-old pastor walking in, and I'm 23, ripped jeans, and they said, well, you got to walk into the Mavs locker room and then the opposing team's locker room and just invite them to the chapel. And so I walk in, and I'm talking to Luka, and I'm inviting them, and then they were playing the LA Lakers.
Mm.
He goes, hey, if you see LeBron, I don't want you to bother him. And I said, man, if I see LeBron, I'm about to go speak to LeBron. And so I walk in, and it's Dwight Howard, it's all these people, and all of a sudden, boom, I walk in this room, LeBron James just in his tights, getting a massage, beats on, watching film. Mm. I am freaking out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I walk by, I invite two other guys to the chapel, and I said, hey guys, there's going to be a chapel, I'd love to, you know, invite you guys. I walk by, and I was like, don't do it, Grant. Boom, I grab his leg, and he looks up, and he goes, what's up? I said, Bron, I pulled my chest out. I said, I'm the chaplain, and I'd love for you to come to the chapel. Mm. I said, give me 5 minutes. I'll get you in and out. Give me 5 minutes.
Mm.
And anyways, we had a 2-minute conversation, and I walk out. I was like, oh my gosh. And I end up showing up to the chapel a little late because I was so pumped that I told my friends, I was like, I just invited LeBron James. So all these players are waiting for me. And I walk in, and one of his teammates walks up, and he goes, hey, man, LeBron wanted me to tell you something. And I was like, man, I'm about to get fined. I'm about to get something.
Right.
And he's like, hey, he really wanted to come. They switched his shoot around time. He can't come, but he really wanted to. He just wanted me to let you know, like, that impacted him. And fast forward, I go on with the chapel, and I look at these guys, and I said, hey, you have everything, right? And there's going to be 10,000 people chanting your name. I said, has the NBA satisfied your soul like you thought it would when you were in high school?
Mm.
And they all shook their heads and looked down and said, man, no.
Mm.
I said, 10,000 people are chanting your name, but does anybody know you?
Mm.
Does anybody know what you struggle with? They said no. And I proceeded to tell them about my career-ending injury where I lost all my identity, and I asked them, I said, knock on wood, you get in a car wreck tonight, you can never play basketball again. Who are you?
Mm.
That's the most important question.
Amen.
And all of them said, I have no idea. And I now get to speak to athletes all around to tell them that you were created.
Amen.
To know God and make him known.
Come on,
so whatever you're going through, whether it's anxiety, whether it's through an injury, whether it's even through a loss of a parent, God is allowing that to prepare you to speak and walk in your purpose to people that are going to be hurting.
Grant, that, my friend, those are two powerful stories of how God has used your testimony, right? Like you said,
Absolutely.
Your mess into your message, your test into your testimony. Mm. It's a beautiful thing what God can do. Sometimes I think we too often try to understand the pain, right? When we're in the midst of it, rather than just surviving it first. Then we can look back, we can reflect on it, we can understand as to maybe what God wanted to teach us. We ask God why all the time. Why me?
Yeah.
Why would you allow this to happen to me? But God wants us to reframe that thought, that question to, man, what is it that you want me to learn in and through it? What did you want me to learn in that moment that I missed maybe when I look back on it? And when we survive it and then understand it, then like you said, we have the opportunity to bless other people with our pain, with our stories, with those mats. And like one thing we've been talking about too, and this is kind of the next question, the segue into it is when we're always giving though, Grant, sometimes that can be exhausting and that can be daunting and draining, right? And I think of a counseling term that we always talk about is just leaving us susceptible to burnout specifically. So man, what is something that somebody listening today, maybe they're just now starting to understand what a relationship with Christ looks like, but they aren't sure how to fill up their cup, right? Because we don't want to leave just the scraps for people.
Nope.
We want it to be the overflowing cup that we get to fill ourselves up with because we can't give what we don't already have.
Absolutely.
So Grant, what have you learned throughout your journey? What are you doing today, maybe currently, that you're doing just to fill up your cup and continue to build to then pour out onto others?
Absolutely, man. So 99.9% of my intimacy in ministry should be alone and private. 99% of my relationship with Jesus should be alone and private. There is 1% that's public. And you give out of the overflow.
Yes.
And so I was teaching a message. I was running this young adult ministry in Branson last year. And I said, and I'll ask you this, what is the biggest waterfall in the world? Do you know it?
I truly don't.
It's Niagara Falls.
Okay.
It gives 75,000 gallons of water per second pours over Niagara Falls.
Wow.
So I started thinking about it. I said, where is that coming from? How does it never run out? every second 75,000 gallons, right? So I said, okay, it's connected. I researched it. It's connected by two lakes, Lake Ontario and Lake Erie. And I said, but those are standstill lakes. If they're always flooding into Niagara Falls where they meet, right? Where they meet is right. Niagara Falls. How do they never run out? And it says yearly they're replenished through rain, hail, sleet, and then underneath the surface, it grabs water as well. Mm-hmm. And so I started to think about it and I taught it and I said, Jesus says, come to me all who are thirsty. Mm-hmm. I'll give you rivers of living water, like I said. So the Christian walk is to walk in life abundantly bearing fruit. But do you ever find yourself in a season where you're going, my waterfall is stagnant. I got nothing to give.
Yeah.
But then you walk in and you see somebody like Zach Clinton and you're like, why is he bursting with life? Why is he so full? And I really thought about it and the Lord spoke to me and said, Grant, your two lakes are clear. One is the word of God.
Yeah.
You must abide in me. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is who bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
So if you're not daily abiding in God's word, your lake and your overflow is going to be empty. He promises that. He says, I need you to abide in me, because if you don't, you're like a branch detached from the tree trying to bear an orange, trying to bear an apple. You can't do it.
Right.
And I said, daily, you know what? Daily, it's a discipline I am getting in God's word. The second one that has blown me away is prayer.
Yes.
How do I develop any relationship? Through intimate times of talking, through building a relationship, taking the time. I've set aside time in my closet because the Bible says when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Go in your room and shut the door, and your Father who hears you in secret will reward you in secret. I said, I'm going to take that literally. I'm going to go in my room, shut the door, get in my closet, shut the door, and I light a candle and I get on my knees and I just pray. And something that may help some people is I daydream a lot, so I have note cards of specific prayers. And I'll go through those note cards so I make sure I'm hitting on everything. And I just begin to spend time with God. And I have seen that when I prioritize God's word, reading in the morning, morning helps for me.
For sure.
And then prayer time, which could be morning, whenever. And then the third one I would say is community and God's people. When those meet, you are overflowing. And every time I go, why is my waterfall empty? I go, well, how are my lakes doing? How are my lakes doing? And so the question that's easy to remember, hey, how are my lakes doing? Okay, well, one's going really good. Lake Erie is going really good. I'm praying like a warrior, but I'm not necessarily abiding in God's word. Well, when Satan comes to attack, what are you fighting him with? Ephesians 6, it's God's word is your sword. So we're trying to fight the enemy on what we have, and he is millions of times stronger than us without God.
Yeah.
So we need the Spirit. And so I would say, how are your lakes doing?
Powerful. How are your lakes doing? Like you said, just abiding in the word, prayer, and then really relating in community with one another. Man, that's a powerful question. It's very easy to remember. I love that, dude. Thank you so much for sharing that. Dude, man, Grant, I love you, brother. I'm so appreciative of you and all that you've instilled within me and impacted me in the last couple of days and just in the last few moments. But as we really come to a close here, what I love to do is just leave the door open really for our guests to share something that God has placed on their hearts for such a time as this. So in this moment, man, who I want you to speak directly to is the person out there who may feel lost, feels like they're wandering, feels uncertain of what God has for them next, who may be going through some pain and some challenge, and truly they're unsure if it will ever end.
Yeah.
Grant, what is the word that God's placed in your heart today to just instill and spark some hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through every listener's life?
Absolutely, man. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound mind. As I wrestle with anxiety, as I wrestle with panic attacks, I go, God, your spirit is not one of fear. So I refuse to live in this and claim this as my walk in my life. I refuse, because that doesn't line up with your word and your spirit.
Yeah.
The enemy is coming after our generation to steal our minds. He's not coming after us necessarily with, I want a Ferrari, I want a Lamborghini. He's coming to steal our minds. Next, he's coming to kill our hope.
Yeah.
When you lose hope, the light goes out. Third, he's coming to destroy our purpose and our ministry. So the first thing I would say is that whatever you're going through, the only power Satan has over your life is what you hold in the dark. You need to speak it out. The moment I started speaking about my anxiety, my panic attacks, it began to lose power.
That's right.
Vulnerability and weakness is where God's power is made perfect.
Amen.
Speak it out. Next, you go to God's word and you remind yourself who you are.
Yes.
Son.
Yes.
Chosen.
Yes.
Adopted. Called. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart ever imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him.
That's right.
God has abundantly more than all I could ever ask or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. So God has more. He needs you to lean in and press into him. The enemy is coming to destroy you. But what you're going through right now, and what I want to speak to myself and to anybody hurting,
yes,
is that Hebrews 4 says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus has felt and been through everything you're going through. It says he's been tested in every way we have. So when I started to go, Jesus, do you really understand this? He goes, Grant, I had a panic attack so bad, I actually sweat drops of blood. He goes, Grant, you feel lonely? I was actually abandoned by every single one of my close friends.
That's right.
Grant, you feel misunderstood? Actually, the people I came to help thought I was trying to hurt and they hated me. So whatever you're going through, any emotion, any feeling, he can understand.
Yeah.
And it says in Hebrews 5, it said, Jesus learned obedience to the Father through his suffering.
Amen.
It says he often offered prayers to the Father with loud cries and tears. So I'm going, one, Jesus, the Son of God, had to learn obedience. How much more do we? But it was through suffering. Your suffering produces an obedient heart, a heart that says, God, no matter what, you're worth it. David's heart. Acts 13:22, it says, I had to create a heart like David so that he'll do whatever I tell him to.
Wow.
Do you have that heart? But Jesus also offered up prayers to the Father with tears and loud cries. It's okay to hurt. If anyone knows suffering, it's our master. Amen. It's our king. Unlike any other religion, you have to climb up the mountain to find him. Matthew 8:1, it says Jesus came down the mountain. Jesus came down the mountain and he met us.
Man.
And so I want you to know you don't have to work to get up there. He meets you in your dry place and he's enough. He is enough. You all who call upon my name, you ask, you knock, you seek, I will answer. He is with you.
Grant Trout, my friend, that is a word from the Lord. Truly, the Spirit has been working in and through you today. You're different, dude. You're just different. There's passion in you that like I've never seen before. God has clearly placed this amazing calling on your life. And I just want you to know that I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the impact you've had on my life. And dude, you're a world changer, right? Keep that story, keep your mat, and just keep speaking and preaching to the masses the good news of the gospel because you're gifted and God has placed that on you. Thank you your willingness to be here and join us today on the podcast. We appreciate you, my friend.
You're the man, Zach. Praise him. Appreciate you.
Man, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I am absolutely fired up. That message from Grant, just hearing his testimony, then hearing his encouragement, I feel encouraged, I feel inspired, I feel ready and equipped to go on and just fight the good fight of faith. My friends, Matthew 8:1, like Grant said, Jesus came down the mountain. He'll meet you exactly where you're at, hurting, doubting, broken, discouraged, anxious, depressed, addicted, suicidal, wounded, abandoned. He'll meet you there. He's not afraid to join you in your suffering. Like Grant said, Jesus can relate to our suffering. Hebrews 4:15 reads, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I'm going to add one more additional verse today. 1 Peter 5:10 reads, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Just don't you dare give up now. God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. He sees you. He hears you. He understands you. He's hurting with you. He's never left your side. He's been in your midst all of this time. And with day by day, this pain that you've endured, it's making you stronger.
It's establishing your steps. He's before you. You can do this. You can keep going. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. And he is for you. How I want to end today's episode is by reading the lyrics from, in my opinion, one of the best songs out there right now that I've been listening to on repeat here recently by Brandon Lake. The song is written from the perspective of God, and I just want to breathe it life into you right now in this moment. It says, I see you trying, though you can't see me. And I know your thoughts before you even think. I heard every last prayer you prayed, and though I answered all the time, you just didn't hear my reply. And I know it's not easy, but don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me, because the darker the night gets, the brighter the light hits. Just don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. You ain't seen what I promised. Child, we're just getting started. There is so much more. Sometimes the first step in getting more is simply believing that there is more. You guys, we love you. We're praying for you. And all of us here at Built Different, we're in this fight with you. Just don't lose heart. As always, thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Built Different Podcast.